we come today, starting off Advent. It's amazing to me that we're at the end of November already, isn't it? Where did September go, for that matter? My goodness, it's just all gone along. And just in case we've lost track, as I mentioned earlier, there are 27 days until Christmas. Somehow, some way, Santa's going to get all of those containers stuck in Los Angeles and all those places moved wherever it is he needs them, I imagine. I'm not totally sure. But this Christmas 2021, as we move into that, we're going to be hearing about things like supply chain issues, the coronavirus and its continuation with now a new Omicron variant, inflation, things that perhaps were not being spoken about last Christmas. But isn't it enough to wear us out, right? Friends, I think that's why that the hope of Advent is such a gift. Because you heard even in the gospel reading all of these things that are coming, and I'll get into that more in example, but Advent is here to prepare us, to sort of, in the midst of the hustle and bustle, whisper to us with a different voice, to move at a different speed, focused in on a different compass than the rest of the world knows. It's a celebration, yes, of Jesus' first coming into the world. It's preparing us for that. But it's also very important to prepare us that Jesus will return to mark the end of this world, and it's to prepare our hearts so we're ready for him to come, ready for him to come and take us to that new heaven and that new earth that he's been preparing for us ever since he rose again into heaven after his death and resurrection. So I think Advent's really a gift to prepare us and get ready for that. You know, because as tough as supply chain issues and inflation and yet again the continuation of our COVID with this new Omicron variant, as tough as all that sounds, the list that Jesus described in today's gospel reading sounds a whole lot tougher, doesn't it? Just to hear that again as he talks about it. He says there are signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the seas. People will faint from terror as the apprehensive of what is coming on the world, where the heavenly bodies will be shaken. As I said, I know things can and have been tough, both for the world and even for us as a nation, perhaps even tougher for you individually. But when you hear that list of all of this stuff happening, even cranked up to the nth degree, and so much more, the terror falling on people, well, I think that's why we need this reminder of what Advent is and what Jesus brings. We need this reminder because even though the world is in total anguish with this, 5.2 million people that have died from our pandemic, you and I, we have a ways to go till we get to that kind of end of the world anxiety that Jesus was talking about. Now, I want to say this just as plainly as I can. As we roll closer to Christmas, as we roll a little further into the 21st century, I really think we have three choices for how we face the difficulties that are there, whether they are our regular everyday difficulties or these huge ones Jesus is talking about at the end of time. The first thing we can do is that we could settle for limited worldly hope. Secondly, I think we could give in to the fear and dread, and I'll talk about that in a minute. And thirdly, I think the one I hope that we'll choose with God's help is choose to have hope and to take hope-filled action. But let me explore those a little bit with you. I think, first of all, like I said, we could settle for worldly hope. Oh, I hope the new phone that I want is available. You know, right? Oh, I hope I can fit into that Christmas suit now that I've eaten all this stuffing and pie. I hope my Social Security increase is big enough to cover the 15% increase in Medicare. My goodness. We can have all kinds of earthly hopes. But those of us who've done, say 40 or 50 laps around the calendar, or maybe a little more, give or take a little bit less, I think we know that eventually our health goes down, our money goes down, pretty much everything in this world goes down. And if we're going to tie ourselves into worldly hope, maybe just one last reminder can be there for us about how limited that is Look at Houston's professional sports teams. I think, though, we want to find something more serious. And we want to really understand and realize that the hope of this world is limited. It's absolutely limited. And so much so that maybe the Bible can give you words about how limited this is. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, the Apostle Paul was inspired by God to say this: if only for this life we have hope, we are to be the most pitied of all people on the earth. In other words, hope isn't just for this world about our sports team or the gift we want or, you know, whether our health or money will hold up. Hope is, we're looking for something so much more than that. And God is trying to do that. There's that verse, 1 Corinthians 15, to put that up for you. And what I think God is saying to us, friends, is to not settle for worldly hope. Not settle that the turkey was going to turn out all right. Not settle, you know, that this or so will work out in our lives. Not settle for just these earthly things, but to seek what God is truly offering. To not let ourselves get weighed down. Now, that's our other choice, right? Our other choice would be we could just give in. Let the fear and the dread of these tough times wear us out, shut us down, and reduce us to just hopeless living. And Jesus talked about that. He talked about that temptation. He knew tough times were coming. And it's so great we have an honest Savior who didn't let this stuff surprise us, right? That's why he says there, in as you heard it in today's gospel reading, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down. And what is this carousing, drunkenness, and anxieties of life? In other words, when the whole world's shaking, when those signs are showing up in the sun, moon, and stars, and nations are fighting against nations, the waters are raging, all of those things that he said would be part of the end times, some people just want to check out. Some of us, even for our everyday garden variety troubles, say, it's too much for me. I just want to check out. Numb the pain. So let's just go out and, you know, wine, women, and song, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. All of those things recorded in Scripture, because God knew that people would get hopeless and just say, I'm checked out. I just want to find whatever comfort, whatever numbness, whatever I can find just to survive till I reach the little bitter end of whatever my life or the world is going to be. And when we are in that place, when our hearts are weighed down, that is when we need hope. That's when this world needs hope. And I think so much so that Jesus is describing that as hopelessness. When our hearts are weighed down is hopelessness. And that's not what he came to live and to die and to rise again to give us. He came to give us a hope, a living hope, and, you know, with this just give up track where we're going to try whatever it is to, you know, just take it easy and everything else. Jesus, he said it 2,000 years ago. He said the problems are still going to be there. They're still going to be there. No matter what we try to take or do to numb it all out, and God doesn't want that for you. So please, hear me say in love that God instead, through the voice of his Spirit, wants us to have a don't give up yet attitude. Don't give up yet because I am with you. Don't give up yet because I'm not done. Don't give up yet because I've conquered over all of this stuff. And heaven and earth can pass away, but my word won't pass. My love for you won't pass. When you're holding on to me and my promises, you won't pass away. But you and I will live forever. You know, Martin Luther tried to capture that idea. And here's how he put this. If I knew that tomorrow the world was going to go to pieces, I would still plant my apple tree. I'd still keep doing the thing I know is right. I'd still keep being a blessing to the people around me, even if I thought my time was going to be short. As unimaginable as it might sound, Jesus can help us live with hope. And that's what he's talking about when he says there that there is this hope that we can have, this strength that comes from hope, this gift of his presence and his promises. When he was talking in the gospel lesson, he was saying, when all of this stuff is happening, when you see it, it's not the time to cower. It's not the time to hold up a billboard and say to the world, see, I told you so, he's coming back. It's the time to do what? To stand up, lift our heads up, have hope, and stand firm and strong, knowing that he has us and he's never going to let us go. So we're asking God to do that, to have that hope. And it sometimes is a little whisper in our heart. I love how the poet Emily Dickinson put it. She wrote this, hope is the thing with feathers that perches in your soul and sings the tune without words and never stops at all. That hope can sing to your soul and mine, God's not done. God hasn't forgotten you. God will not let go. God's love for you is everlasting. And you and I, when we cling to him and let that be our hope, we're going to be everlasting as well. So hope is really celebrating these promises. It's celebrating what God said through Jeremiah, that the righteous branch was sent, that Jesus came into the world and he lived that perfect life and he died that sacrificial death and he rose again to show us that death doesn't have a final say in our lives. He gave all that as our hope. He demonstrated it to the world. And it was a promise made to Jeremiah some 600, 700 years before God came. And Jesus kept that promise. I think really what God's trying to say to us is that he wants us to increase our hope. In the epistle lesson, you heard Paul say that. He asks, offers this blessing to the beloved church in Thessalonica. And he says, may the Lord strengthen your hearts. Could you see turning that into a prayer for yourself? Lord, I'm weighed down by the troubles of this world. Please strengthen my heart. Lord, I feel hopeless right now because I don't know how to help this person that I love and what they're going through. Lord, strengthen my heart and theirs. Lord, I don't know how much longer I can hold out or whatever that is going on, our money, our health, whatever it might be. Lord, strengthen my heart with your hope. We ask God to do that. And we're asking him to deepen that hope within us so when we pray that, God will indeed strengthen our hearts with hope and even more hope. And I think also we can ask God. We can ask him not only to strengthen our hearts, but to strengthen our action, our hope-based action. It's such a beautiful promise that's there again in Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 3:13. May he strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in his presence when the Lord Jesus comes. Strengthen our hearts, Lord, for all that we're doing. When we do that, then hope is what guides all of our actions. Hope is really the compass that's there. Here's how, again, one more quote from Martin Luther, and we'll let those quotes go. But he said this, all of this happens, all that happens in this world that's good happens through hope. Think about it. No farmer would ever sow a grain of corn if he did not have hope that it would spring up and bring him a harvest. How much more are you and I helped by the hope we have in Jesus? So have hope. Be strengthened by it today. And look for where through our service, through our words of encouragement, through our presence with people in need, look for where we can be bringers of hope as well. Are there challenges? Absolutely. One more Martin Luther. Martin Luther King Jr. said it this way just 2 months before he was assassinated. We must accept finite disappointment, but never give up God's gift of ultimate hope. That's what he offers to us. That's what Jesus came to assure us, that God hasn't forgotten and God's making that way. And so may that hope fill and strengthen us always. May we have hope this Advent and always. Amen.